Silent Word Ministries. And so Brother Bennett's going to come and give us a brief update on their ministry and then give us a challenge from God's Word.
Thank you, Brother Vance. Thank you for supporting us. Vicki and me, our ministries. Vicki, raise your hand right there so you know. Hey, be sure to shake her hand, or you can give her a hug. We've lived in Brazil for so long and traveled to other places. We like hugs. So the handshaking's nice. The hugs are even better. Anyway, so thank you for supporting us. Thank you also for supporting my brother Dan and his family. You support them, right? And we appreciate that. You've supported us. I don't even know how long. You've supported them a long time too. So thank you, thank you, thank you, because we have to have people like you back here praying and giving that we might be there. I'd love to preach on prayer tonight, but that's not going to be my theme. Let me give just a little bit of an update. We travel quite a bit. We've been to India this year. She's been to Brazil already this year. We've been to Africa together this year. I'm going to tell you just a little bit about that here soon. And in fact, on Thursday of this week, we leave for Brazil again. We'll be there for a month. I come home for Christmas. Both of us come home for Christmas. After Christmas, December 31st, we go back to India for another 6 weeks. I'll tell you why in a minute. And then after 6 weeks in India, I fly to Tokyo. She flies from the U.S. and meets me in Tokyo. We'll be there for 2 weeks because I'm preparing for the Deaf Olympics in Tokyo next year, a year from now. And so I have to do some preparation work for that. I plan on taking a team of approximately 20 people on missions trip to Tokyo. Some of these people who will go with us are deaf, some are not deaf, some know sign language, some don't know sign language, but they want to give out tracts. They want to help us reach deaf people for Christ in Tokyo. And you can do that just passing out tracts, even if you don't know any sign language. We've had others like that on other trips of ours. And so I know in this church there are multiple Davids. So if you're a David, you could go with us, whether you know sign language or not, and pass out tracts in Tokyo, and you can bring your wives. And we'll take her with us, too, because I want her to come and play the piano for us when we're there in Tokyo, okay? Does that sound good? Yeah, I love that. That's a great spirit right there. So then she'll meet me in Tokyo for 2 weeks while I'm doing a survey trip, figuring out where we're going to stay, what we're going to do, where the venues are for the Deaf Nation, Deaf Olympics next year. There will probably be close to 4,960 athletes come to Tokyo. Plus, there's going to be coaches and trainers and parents of these deaf. So there's a huge opportunity to reach deaf people in countries all around the world. I wasn't planning on saying this, but one of our Deaf Olympics, I remember, my dress is from Taiwan, by the way. I've been there sometimes. And the Deaf Olympics were in Taiwan several years ago. And as we had a table. We had all our tracks in like 50 or 60 different languages there on the table. And I think I had 21 people with me on that trip. And I noticed these two deaf athletes come up to the table, and some of my team members asked, "So what country are you from?" Because once we know what country, we'll start looking for their language. And they were from Israel. Well, Israel is probably one of the toughest places to reach deaf people because in Israel, they take care of their deaf very well. They take care of them very well, and they don't want any outside contact. And these two deaf athletes come up to the table, and so our people start looking for the gospel tracts in Hebrew, find them, and offer it to them, and they say, "Is this about Jesus?" And they said, "Yes," and like they wouldn't take it. And they started to walk away. Well, our team started asking questions real quick, and they ended up staying. And after about 45 minutes of answering questions from our team, they took the literature in Hebrew and walked away with it. Now, I don't know what happened with it after that, But we have opportunities to reach people like that. We've given lots of tracts to deaf people from Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, because of these international deaf events. If you read our prayer letters, sometimes you'll hear me talking about Deaf Olympics. They're every 4 years. So the Hearing Olympics and the Paralympics were just recently, right? Well, then usually about the 2 years in the interval, 2 years, there's going to be a Deaf Olympics all the time. So we try to get to those so we can evangelize. And we've always seen, as one time we saw 12 people saved, another time we saw 20, I think it was right at 20 saved. Then there's another event that we do quite often. It's called the Deaf Nation World Expo. And so we see deaf people saved at the Deaf Nation World Expo every time we go. Those, sometimes there's a 4 year gap between one and the other. Recently, they've been doing them every 2 years. So we were just last year at Deaf Nation World Expo. I had a team of 38 people with me. And God uses those trips as mission trips to touch the hearts of people who are there serving, seeing these deaf people come from all over the world to the United States for Deaf Nation World Expo. Anyway, so we'll be in Tokyo, and then after we finish in Tokyo, we're going to Hawaii. I'm going to be speaking in some churches in Hawaii, and I'll challenge them with need to work with the deaf. One of those churches called me up quite a while ago wanting to know, how do we work with the deaf? So we're finally getting to Hawaii, thank the Lord. My wife's been wanting to go there for a long time, and I just haven't been able to get her there. But now, on the way back from India, Japan, finally in Hawaii. So I'll leave December 31st and come back the middle of March. Well, then about the second week in April, I'll take off with one of our board members to Zimbabwe for another 3 weeks or 2.5 weeks or so. So we stay pretty busy. This last year we've been busy. We'll be busy this week because deaf people need Christ. And it's not only deaf people, but it's also those with special needs. Some of the deaf have other needs besides their deafness. And then there's other people who aren't deaf but have special needs. You'll see them around the United States quite often. Almost every church has one or two or three, some with special needs. They need Christ. But yet on foreign fields, it's rare to find a church that has a deaf ministry. We have lots of missionaries going over and doing church planting. Amen, right? We have missionaries going and starting Bible schools and teaching in Bible colleges, orphanages, camps. Amen. But the Great Commission is to every creature. Preach the gospel to every creature. And that's what Silent Word Ministries International does. That's why we exist. Because there's people who don't normally get reached for Christ that have to know Christ. You're one of the few supporting churches that we have that still has a deaf ministry. Many of our churches that had deaf ministries years ago no longer have those deaf ministries. Some of them were very large ministries, and now they haven't had one for years. So we thank God when we come here. We were here Wednesday night. We were here last year on a Wednesday night with you. And I brought a couple other people with us as well. John Barr, the president of our mission, he came and spoke to the deaf Wednesday night. I had the opportunity to speak to the blind. And thank you for ministering to them, brother, and your church having this ministry. We really appreciate it. Tony, are you glad that you have interpreters in this church? He gets nervous. He says, oh, I'm nervous. Any attention, he gets nervous. So, no, Tony's a really sharp guy. I did Sunday school this morning, preached to the deaf afterwards, and I was very impressed with him, and I'm excited that you guys do something here to reach deaf people for Christ. I mean, I go all over the world to do that. I spend lots of time. I spend weeks, months, hours and hours, because they need Christ in Africa and Europe. We have missionaries in Europe. We have missionaries in Africa. We have a deaf school that we started Actually, a pastor in Africa started it with nothing. And once he started it with nothing, he says, "So what do I do now?" It's like, you shouldn't have started this. Like, this was, I mean, you have no books. You have no paper. You have no pencils. You have chalk that's so small you can't hardly hold it in your hand. And the chalkboards that you have are from 1909. I mean, you can't hardly even see anything on those chalkboards. And the door to the room, there's no door on the schoolroom. There's no window in the schoolroom. There's just an opening. And you're starting a deaf school with zero. Like, oh, so how do I help him? So we've been helping him with a lot of advice. We've been able to move from a little room over on their initial church property. Now they have a 10-acre piece of property or so. And we're finishing up a two-story building that two other missions, there's three of us missions working together on this project. And we've got two floors just being built, finished here soon, just really, really nice. We've built two dormitories. And for the first time, now deaf people can be brought from other villages and live at the school during the school year. One of the blessings of that is when Vicki and I were there in March, one of the men from the church, we got a phone call and about a deaf boy that was 14 years old. He lived out in the bush. And they said, "Can we bring him to school?" And the national pastor said, "Yes, bring him." So one of the days we were there, this motorcycle comes in, and there's this deaf boy on the back of the motorcycle. Now get this, the boy's 14. He doesn't know any sign language. He has no communication skills. You can tell he's smart just by the way he acts, but no communication skills whatsoever. Never been to school a day in his life. Can't read or write. And the week we were there, I had taken a blacksmith from the U.S. with me for 2.5 weeks. And he spent 2 weeks every day with our deaf adults, and even the deaf children were watching him do blacksmithing. And from the day one, he had them heating. Now, if you're a blacksmith or you're anything like that, and you're going to laugh at, because I don't even know the vocabulary for this stuff. But he's taken the metal, I don't know if that's iron or steel, but something like that, and he puts it in the fire, and they pound it, and they do things. They were making axes and knives after the first week, these deaf adults. It was phenomenal. So, because one of the things we need to do is teach them trades as well, because at one point they're going to graduate and they need to be able to work a job. And so this deaf boy is there, and the second day he's there, we've got him with metal in the fire, pounding on it, making things. The truth of the matter is, he can't read or write, never been a day in school in his life, and he was making things on day two that I wouldn't even touch. I don't even mess with that. I would get burnt. I would get hurt. I'd be in a big trouble if I'm trying to do that stuff, because that's not me. Some of you guys, you're like, "Why is that so hard?" Well, you come with me, and I've got some people that you can counsel and help them with their spiritual lives and see how you do with that, because that's what I prefer to be doing. That's more of my forte. Anyway, so that boy is now at school learning to read and write, and we trust we're going to see him saved. We haven't seen him saved yet. It's going to take a little longer. But we have seen two others of those deaf who came without any sign language already saved this year. One of the teachers. Now, when they started that deaf school, they needed teachers. I had introduced them to one guy who was not a teacher. He had just finished graduating from high school. They hired him to be one of their teachers. And they would give him like, oh, I'm going to try to figure it out in English. Maybe 12 cups of rice a month to teach in their school. Big salary, right? No money. Now they're getting about, I think, $30 a month, maybe $40 to teach in the deaf school. And those six teachers that they hired, none of them were saved. When I went back the next time, I asked them, I said, are these teachers saved? They said, we don't know. You got a Christian school and you got teachers and you don't know if they're saved? I said, are they baptized? They said, if they are, they weren't baptized here. Are they members of your church? No. Well, a few weeks later, I was able to lead all six of those teachers to Christ. Praise the Lord. And today, one of them's already in heaven. And four of them are still teaching in the school. They've got a new teacher last year, a female teacher, which is their second one. And they just led her to Christ just the other day. I don't know, 6 or 8 weeks ago. And she's been teaching in their Christian school, not even saved. But they just led her to Christ. And then the people that I just told you about that I led to Christ, they just saw six deaf adults. I think it was five men and one lady baptized this year in that work there in Africa, in Liberia. Let me skip over. I want to get to my message soon because I really feel the Lord wants me to preach this tonight. But in India, I go to India yearly. I'll be back in January again. And one of the things that I do is I disciple pastors and missionaries. You say, pastors and missionaries, you disciple them? Yes, I do. And I'd love to spend an hour explaining that, but I'm not. So I had two discipleship retreats. They're 8 days long, each one. I work with them in their spiritual lives. And I had these in India back in January. Well, one of those retreats I actually held at a deaf school, one of the finest deaf schools in the world. I didn't start it. I wasn't involved in developing it or anything. Silent Word wasn't involved in it. It was just an Indian family who got a burden for the deaf when they were in Bible school years ago, went back to their tribe called the Ao tribe, A-O, Ao tribe, and started with three little deaf kids in their living room. Now, when I say living room, think two little rooms, and this house is not finished. I mean, very, very simple. They sleep on the floor in the living room. They started it that way 37 years ago. Well, we're now partnering with them. They have a nice facility. God has blessed them in some incredible ways. So I had these 12 pastors. Actually, it was 11 pastors and one other person. I had them there for 8 days, discipling them in their spiritual life. Now, on Sunday, we always go to church. And during the week, there are deaf people on campus at that deaf school and deaf church facility. So these pastors are now going to church on Sunday, and they're seeing up front, deaf people are leading the music. Deaf people are giving the announcements. Deaf people have special music. Then I was going to preach that day and did. And these pastors are sitting back here behind the deaf, because it's a deaf church. Within 5 minutes, they all had their phones out videoing everything that's going on up there because they've never seen that before. They didn't even know anything like this existed in their country of India. I put some stuff, some pictures on Facebook. I do that quite often so people can pray better for us. I had guys, pastors from India writing me saying, are you sure that's India? Like, that's in our country? Like, deaf people doing music, doing special music, giving announcements, and involved in the service. Like, yeah, that's for them. That's in our country? We had no idea that was even possible. Well, that's the way these guys who were with me were. They had their cameras like this. Some of them would hold it in one hand because they're wiping tears off their face during the whole service because they're videoing everything because they've got to show this video to family and friends and their churches back home from whence they came. When these guys left, they didn't come for the deaf. They come to be discipled. in their spiritual lives. They're all hearing pastors. Anywhere from the youngest one was 25, the oldest one was 64. Most of them were probably in their 50s. They went home, and a couple of them started looking for deaf people and bringing them to the deaf school. Now, this is 10, 12, 15 hours away. In fact, one of the deaf guys came from two or three states away, let's say from Texas, if the school were here. I mean, from a long way, bringing deaf. And a couple of them have already been saved this year. They didn't know any sign language when they came. They're learning the alphabet. They're learning to read and write. There's all kinds of deaf. They're learning sign language. And they're seeing these deaf people saved already as a result of my discipling these hearing pastors, which in this one case just so happens to be in a deaf school facility where we have dormitories for men like this. In fact, Silent Word Ministries International sent them money this just last year, a year ago. And they've built a facility now where we're taking people, sending people from India and from United States, and the goal is from other countries, to India to get training to work with the deaf so they can go back to their countries and start deaf schools and deaf churches and deaf ministries and in the churches that they do have. That's what we're doing. That's part of what we're doing. That's a little bit of what we're doing. But we've seen the number of souls, deaf souls, saved this year already. And I do have one prayer request here. We have a lady with our mission named Monique. Monique's almost 60 years of age. She works with special needs. For many years, she worked at Hidden Treasure, and a personal friend of ours. And God, after one of my trips to Africa several years ago, she got a burden to go back to Africa, what she calls her people, and reach those with special needs. A few months ago, she found out she has pancreatic cancer, and within 3 days, she had to be back here in the States to start getting treatment immediately, and she's still going through that treatment. She's one of the finest missionaries I know anywhere. She is a go-getter, and she loves people who have different needs, and her name is Monique. And I'd really appreciate when you pray, if you'd pray for Monique and her cancer, because we really need her in Africa. She's already helped us reach in several different areas of Liberia, Africa, and our goal is to reach special needs people and train people in the area of special needs for other ministries in other places, other countries. And that's a real burden on our heart. We need laborers to reach the deaf. We need laborers to reach, help work with special needs. We need men really badly who can lead these ministries. We need women who will join these ministries, single and married. So that's just a little update on what God has been doing just in the last little while and what he's doing now. With the prayer request, I give a second one, is this Deaf Olympics that's coming up in 2025. If you'd pray that God would bring us the laborers, I'll be sending out lots of emails, put lots on Facebook about we need laborers, we need people who want to just help us reach deaf people around the world for Christ, and who can go for 2.5 weeks to Japan with us. And I'll have all the detailed information when I get back from Japan about how much it's going to cost, where we're going to stay, where the venues are, and so forth. Okay. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 7, please. Mark chapter 7. I don't preach this message very often, but it's one I really feel God wants me to preach tonight here. I don't know why. I just came up with a new message the other day, and I was working on another one this afternoon. And God said, no, don't preach that. No, don't preach that. Come back to this. Mark chapter 7. Just so you don't fall asleep already while I'm reading, let's stand and I'll read. Mark chapter 7. I'm going to start in 32. And they, plural, bring unto him one, that's singular, that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he, Jesus, took him, the deaf man, aside from the multitude, took him aside and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he, Jesus, sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he, Jesus, charged them, that's the they, that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He had done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Let's pray. Father, give me wisdom now as we illustrate this. Help me to make the points you want me to make in the time we have. May you be glorified in this. Work in one man's heart or two men's hearts. Work in one or two ladies' hearts. Maybe even a teenager, maybe a child. Lord, we need laborers. Lord of the harvest, we need laborers. Please use this message. We need laborers right here to help with the deaf and the blind here even more. We need them all around the world, Lord. Would you please hear my prayer, answer my prayer, and raise up laborers for this harvest? I pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, so I am going to illustrate this for you in the following way. I've got three guys right here. There's a fourth one right there. I'm going to use you guys. I need you up here, please, sir. You're going to go over there by the door. And I need a deaf man. Guess what? We have two here tonight. We've got Jimmy and we've got Tony. Okay, Tony, come here. You're going to help me. Come here.
Why? He says, why?
You're deaf. You don't do anything. Come here. You're deaf. No language. Okay? All right. He's deaf. Can you see him? All right, now I need Jesus. So I'm going to ask that man back there with the children. Can you leave your children and come help me be Jesus? Oh, they won't handle that. All right, can you help me, David? All right, yeah, he was hoping I wouldn't call him. So I tried not to. Now, Jesus, you got to come up here. Okay, stand there by the piano. Who is he? Who is he? He's the deaf man. Who are those four? They. Wow. Wow, you got it. You see the passage? What's it say right there in verse 32? The second word. And? They. That's plural, right? Okay, for our illustration, we have four theys. The four make a they. Now, they have a deaf friend. Or maybe it's one of their brothers. But we're going to say they have a deaf friend that lives close to them. Let me see. I got to make sure I don't stand here in your way so they can see. Hold on. Come here, Tony. Stand here. You can see better. There's they. They have a friend who's deaf. Now, over here in this corner is Jesus. What is Jesus doing? He has a whole multitude of people here. And you know what Jesus was doing much of the time? He was preaching and he was healing, right? You agree with that? Okay, so I want you to imagine that Jesus is healing people here and they're all standing in a row. So I'm going to use you three ladies right here to be, you're going to be healed in just a minute by Jesus. So would you come up here, you three, okay? I want you to stand right here, get in line, because you all, you're lame, you're crippled, and she's blind, okay? And she has really special needs. She really needs help, this one right here. Now, wait a minute, you got to stand in line like this. Because you're going to Jesus in a minute. That's what's happening in chapter 7 of Mark. So, these guys, they have been to Jesus. They have seen what Jesus can do. They have heard Jesus' message. They have gone home. Now, I don't know if they heard it a week ago, a month ago. I don't know. But they hear somehow that Jesus is in the area. And so they decide, we're going to get our friend here. We're going to take him to Jesus because he needs healed too. Because we've seen Jesus do it. So consequently, our four come. They get their friend and they tell him to come with us. And they're going to come get in line here at Jesus' service. Oh, that's good. One of them took charge. That's nice. That always happens. All right. So now he's in line. Jesus is healing these people. Okay. So what happens is one comes to Jesus and Jesus. And guess what? Wait a minute. Don't go anywhere yet. You're going to be healed right now when he touches you, okay? Are you going to be happy?
I'm already laughing.
You're already laughing. All right. So touch her, and she's healed. Yay! Praise the Lord! Hey, hallelujah, she's healed. Okay, now she leaves. These people are getting ready to come up next, but pay attention here. What is this man doing? He's deaf. He probably doesn't have sign language. Probably doesn't even know his name. Can't read or write. We don't even know how old he is, but he's not a kid. It's a man, a deaf man. What is he seeing? He's seeing one, and he probably saw a whole bunch of others first, because I'm only using three. Thank you. And he's seeing that this man, Jesus, he doesn't know his name. Those guys, they know Jesus' name, but he's never seen that name. They didn't have sign language, Jesus, back then. So now the second one comes up and she's blind. Wait a minute, back up. Okay, now come to Jesus. All right, she comes to Jesus. And what's Jesus going to do? Hello? What's Jesus going to do? He's going to heal her. So he puts his... Shut your eyes. Hey, where's your cane? Okay, but now when you're standing still, you hold it like this. Okay? All right, Jesus touches her. And what happens to her? She can now see. Open your eyes. Wow! You can see. Are you excited?
Yes.
Yes, she's excited, see? And she goes away praising God. Hallelujah. Wouldn't you?
Yes.
What if it was your son or daughter? What would you do? This is real stuff, people. This is not a story, a myth, a tale. People are getting healed. Now it's her turn. She comes up, and she's all crippled. You're crippled. And Jesus is going to touch her. Now, what is he seeing? He's seeing that Jesus can touch somebody and heal them. See, this takes faith. But he has to know to have faith in someone. He can't have faith in faith. Oh, he wants to be normal like everybody else, but he doesn't know how. He doesn't even know that's possible. And now for the first time in his life, he is in the presence of someone who's doing something that he's never ever seen before. Jesus, this man right here, whoever he is, he's got power. He touches her, and all of a sudden, she's better. Yay! Hallelujah! You go away rejoicing. Are you rejoicing, ladies? I'm sorry. I know that embarrassed you a little bit, but I didn't have others here close. I needed someone close. So now Jesus has been doing this. What do you think is happening in his heart and in his mind as each one leaves this place rejoicing different? Because this person, he saw come up and they leave jumping. Hallelujah! Don't you think it's like that? Oh, you must read the Bible in a boring way. You can't imagine that. The Bible is real. These people are real. They have real emotions. They have real needs. They need Jesus. He's the only answer to their needs. They've been deaf and blind and lame and crippled their whole lives, unless it was in an accident 20 years ago or 16 years ago. And they're coming to this man. They're being changed. All right, let's get Jesus up closer. Okay, so now, let's go back to our passage. They bring unto him how many? One. One that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. Most deaf don't speak right. Even the few who do speak, most of them don't speak well. Some don't even use their mouths at all. Some have no idea how to speak. A few do. They've learned one way or another. Some are hard of hearing. They can hear a little bit. They learn how to speak a little bit. But this guy is deaf. He can't hear out of either ear. And his speaking is more like... He just makes noises. Then it says this. They beseech him to put his hand upon him. Okay? That's what you guys got to do. You got to beseech him to put his hand on him. They, it's your turn. Now, how serious are you? Now, is this serious or not? How bad is his need? Tell Jesus. Oh, do you hear what he said? You're the only one that can do something about it. Is that right or wrong? That's true. He hit it on the nail. He's the only one that can do something for him. So now, he asked him to do what? Put his hand up on him and heal him, right? Let's go back to our passage. Look at verse 33. And he, that's Jesus, took him aside from the multitude. Okay? Jesus healed everybody else right here. That's not what Jesus does with this deaf man. I'm going to hypothesize in just a moment. So we're going to take this man apart from the multitude. Let's bring him over here. I want you guys to come a little bit closer, right over here by the little organ, because you want to see what Jesus is doing, because you're responsible for bringing him to Jesus in the first place. Hey? So, that's okay. Now, Jesus is going to do something with him. He doesn't know what. All he knows is he saw that man do something for those people. And now it's his turn. What's he going to do with me? Now, he doesn't have any language, so he really can't be thinking in his mind with words. Only thing he knows is pictures. I'm not exaggerating. He has no words. You can't even imagine what it is not to have words. Because everything you think in words. He has no words. Jesus put his fingers into his ears. Okay? Wait. Put your hands on his ears. Hey, he put his hands on his ears. What does this man know? See, I got a problem with him because he knows sign language already. But the man Jesus heals doesn't know sign language. The people we're working with around the world don't know sign language, most of them, until we teach it to them. When he puts his hands on his ears, do it again. Okay, so keep them there. He now knows Jesus realizes what his problem is. See, Jesus knows what the problem is. He knows what each one of them need. So now it says, he spit. Open your hand. Spit. Okay. And he's going to touch his tongue. Okay? He touches his tongue. Now, see, I don't know if any of you all saw what she just did. I don't know what the rest of you thought, but does that look like something you want to do? What if you were deaf and this man had healed all these other people and it was your turn? Would you open your mouth and take a chance? Some of you won't, some of you will. See, that's just like the world. We're offering Jesus to them, some say no. I'm not willing to take that step. This man took that step. Jesus put his hands and fingers into his ears, spit, and reached out. He could have gone like this. Not me. But he had seen this man do something that nobody else could do. And he had fingers in his ears. He can't speak. Spit. He reaches out to his mouth and he opens his mouth. That is called faith. This man had never heard a message Jesus ever preached, but he saw the works that Jesus did. And because he saw what God, Jesus, did with all those others, he opens his mouth by faith, believing that when this man touches his tongue, after having touched his ears, something miraculous is going to happen, and he hopes that it's his ears open. He doesn't know what change that's going to be like. He doesn't understand the significance of that. All he knows is he wants to hear. He wants to talk like normal people. And now, looking up to heaven, so when he looks up to heaven, what do you think he's going to do? You've seen those illustrations maybe where, you know, you get four or five guys and they're on the, they're walking down the street of New York City and all of a sudden they start looking up. They're not looking at anything specific. They just all look up and all of a sudden you've got a crowd around them. Everybody's looking up to see what those four guys are looking at, right? So when he looks up, what are you guys going to do? You're going to look up too. And what's he going to do? He's going to look up. You know why? Because his help comes from heaven, from the Father. He looks up. He sighs. Hey, he sighs. And then he says, looking at him, he says, Ephatha, be opened.
Be opened.
Okay? He said, be opened. Can he hear him? Not yet. But that disease can. That handicap can. Those demons can. They hear. All of a sudden, the string of his tongue was loosed and his ears were opened. Now, he's going to be excited. Now, you guys are going to have to be excited with him because you brought him to Jesus. This is why you brought him to Jesus. Okay? Say, Ephatha.
Ephatha.
Be opened.
Be opened.
Be opened. Now, he can talk. And now he can hear. Yeah, he. Now, you guys got to get excited too. Let me see if there. Where's the excitement? Come on, guys. You just brought your friend to Jesus. He healed him. All right, somebody hug him. All right, jump up and down. Yeah. Hey. When somebody gets saved, is there excitement? Or are you just like, oh, I just got saved. Oh, Jesus just changed my life. I'm a new creature. There's joy in heaven when one sinner repents. Jesus is doing miracles. What do you think their families are feeling today after Jesus heals them? What do you think they're feeling? She's all crippled. And now she's running laps around the whole multitude for joy of what God, Jesus, did for her. They're all excited. It says, straightway, immediately, his ears were opened and the string of his tongue is loosed and he spake plain. He spake plain. There's three miracles happening here. Number one, his ears are opened. That's a miracle. He can now hear. Now, number two, his mouth, he can talk. That's a miracle. Here's miracle number three. He doesn't need speech therapy. He doesn't have to go to school to learn how to speak. He never spoke in his life. And all of a sudden, not only is the string of his tooth loosed, but right now, he starts to talk like he's been talking his whole life. Without school, without grammar. He's talking. That's a bigger miracle, really, than the other two. Because we can help people hear. We can help people talk to a certain degree. Hearing aids, cochlear implants, other stuff. We can help them physically, but there's never a person in this world that's ever been helped to hear or to speak who immediately could talk perfectly plain and everybody understand him. Verse 36, guys, listen to this. And Jesus charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. And they were beyond measure astonished, saying, what's this verse 37? Start right there. Say it. Say it. Don't just read scripture. I mean, like, mean this, okay? Yes, sir. All right, so what's it say?
He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak.
That's what they're saying. So, you four guys, go out there and tell each of you, tell three people out there that. Go. Tell three people. Go. Go ahead. It is. It's awesome. This is awesome. Jesus has been doing this with lame and blind and deaf, paralytic people, born deaf, born blind. And you know what we do? Guys, come stand over here. Hey, put your hands down in front of you and just look sad. Oh, Jesus just healed your friend. We act like Jesus doesn't deserve any praise or honor or glory or anything. We don't even tell anybody anymore. And we probably don't even give a testimony to that even in church. It's testimony time. Who will be the first? Hello? Jesus is in the miracle working business. He changes lives. And he still changes lives. And we're seeing him change lives around the world. Are you seeing him change any lives around here? Now, I'm going to end with this. The second word of that passage, what is it? Say it louder. Yeah, okay. They. How does he come to Jesus? How does he get to Jesus? They. Here's the question. Where are the theys here? Oh, we have they. One's sitting right up here. One's sitting right back there. That's the theys. So the rest, we don't have to do anything. He's 73 years old. He's already tired. I know that for a fact. Where's the help going to come for they? Here. Where's our help over there in Africa and India and Europe going to come from? It has to come from theys that are here. Now maybe you're a teenager. Maybe you're an adult. Maybe you're retirement age already. I never saw an age in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I never saw an age in Mark 16, 15. Go ye who are under 40 years of age and preach the gospel. Nowadays, People who are in their 40s and 50s are giving up careers. I can't say lots and lots, but we've seen plenty of them over the last 20, 30 years giving up careers because the house and the boat and everything else that they accumulated is not bringing the peace they expected, and they're going to serve alongside veteran missionaries somewhere. We're seeing people in their retirement years saying, I'm tired of this. I'm going to retire and go help missionaries when they're 60, 65, 70, and 75. I just read a story this week of a 49-year-old man who took a young couple to the island of Yap to help them get there. He came back different. And at 49, he gave up his whole career and moved his family to Yap to work with the missionaries he just took over there. They are needed if we're going to reach people like him and tell people like him about him. Father in heaven, thank you for this message. It's real. It's right in the Bible. Can't be any more true than that. I don't know why you wanted me to preach this message tonight here, Lord. When I was looking at preaching a couple other new messages. But you had this on my heart. And I wanted to spend more time talking about what you're doing overseas, but I had to get this out here at Grace Baptist Church. One guy, one girl, one man, one lady, maybe high school, maybe elementary school, maybe college, maybe retired, maybe midlife crisis. And they needed this message. Maybe all of us needed it just to know that there's people out there without Christ, and it's our responsibility to work together as theys and join in a team. Maybe the blind ministry team here, the deaf ministry team here, and join that. Or other teams that they have here working on a bus route or something. God, we need theys. We need theys! Lord of the harvest, we need theys! Would you please give us theys? Who would say, I'm going to go get that deaf man. I'm going to go get that blind man. I'm going to go get that lame person. I'm going to go get that black man in the neighborhood, in the hood. I'm going to go get that Hispanic family in the trailer park. I'm going to go get them and bring them to Jesus. God, we need touched. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You men may be seated. We're going to have an invitation right now. I surrender all. Would you please stand? I don't even want you to sing necessarily. It just makes it a little easier for you to stand to get out of your place and to come pray over whatever it is the Holy Spirit talked to you about tonight. As she plays, I surrender all. If God's spoken to your heart in any way, would you come?